Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Gertie of Waking Girl Web Design, who has been building websites since she was a kid. She loves waking up websites and waking up businesses. So today we're going to be discussing Gertie's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Gertie.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to have you here with me. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Awesome. I'm ready.
So what would you say motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Money, but really going back, I started building websites when I was a kid, and I was, that was a long time ago. 25 years ago. And I was starting to see that maybe some of the things I was being told in school were not really real anymore, maybe not truthful. Mm-hmm. Get good grades, go to college, get a good job, live happily ever after.
Yeah.
And I was like, something's not quite adding up. And I was seeing all these great people dropping out of high school, dropping out of college, and starting their, computer empire. Part of the thing that inspires me is just the web design, digital marketing allows me to live outside the box pretty comfortably. Mm-hmm. And, from working in pajamas to setting your own hours, like web designers and digital marketers can do things that our teachers never told us we could do in school. We'll just put it like that.
Yeah, it's so cool, and it gives you that flexibility to work at the time of day that suits you best. You've got that flexibility. And it's so rewarding as well, just being able to help other businesses, and you learn about so many different industries along the way. So, it's definitely such a great business to start, I think.
I have a heart for helping people, really. Like, as much as money is nice, like I'm kind of a sucker for being helpful. One of my first jobs was teaching people how to, I was teaching people in my church how to turn on their computers and how to open the internet and set up an email account. And it was just, it was a crazy experience. It was a great, entry into what I would build later on. And just seeing that I had an ability to work with people who are completely computer illiterate, and break it down for them and decide when is it worth it to teach them how to do it? And when is it worth it to just say, okay, you're going to pay me for this part.
Yeah.
And I will do it for you, 'cause you will never figure this part out.
Yeah. It's so true. So. And I think taking the time to teach a little bit, and then when they realize how complex it is, then they're happy to turn it over to an expert who will just take it over.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Being able to break something down into, I would say business owners are less interested in learning how to do something and more interested in having it be explained to them. Mm-hmm. So if you can explain it to me like I'm a first grader, I'm more likely to hire you to do it for me, because, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
don't show me how to do it. Just explain it to me so I know that it's not worth my time. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. Awesome. So tell us about, you know, what was that deciding factor to really take the plunge and start Waking Girl Web Design?
Yeah, great. Man, it's so crazy because it goes back so far. It's hard to comprehend that I've been doing this for a long time. I don't feel that old. I was working in video production with a company called Sleeping Boy Production. And we took on a couple website clients, but we were mostly doing videography, you know, everything from weddings to documentaries to commercials. And that was a lot of work. I kind of hated it, but some parts were fun, and, you know, I was just learning a lot. We were able to do a couple websites, and I was like, man, this is so much easier than video work, and easier to find people who need websites than people who need videos. So yeah. Especially the kind of videos we were doing back then. I mean, it wasn't like an iPhone. I don't think we had iPhones back then. So it was real cameras and lighting, and it was a lot. So I decided to part ways with that company and start my own company. And I needed something that kind of would make sense to any shared mutual clients that we might have. But also convey that it was completely the opposite. So that's how the name Waking Girl started. It's the opposite of Sleeping Boy.
Sleeping Boy.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And it was crazy because I didn't really realize how important that name would become. But right away, I mean, my emphasis and what sets me apart as a web designer is I don't make websites that look like everybody else's. And my goal was that people would take one glance at the website and they'd be able to remember it when they walked away from the computer.
What does that mean? Do you put like a really heavy emphasis on the design then to really, you know, make it memorable, make it pop?
No, we try not to make it pop. everybody wants us to make it pop, but no, that's not a good idea. So I go through a process with my clients, an interview process where I try to find out what got them excited about their business. You know, why did you start it? And it is hard when people are like, well, there's a good ROI on this business, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm looking for people with an actual story of, you know,
like
cancer.
Something that genuinely like fuels their yes. ambitions besides just yeah. money.
Not just money, but like the thing that really gets them excited about it. And from there, I'm able to just how I describe it is that I build out the personality of the company. So not the business owner, because the business owner and the company may have some crossover, but they're two separate things. Mm-hmm. And so if we can find the personality of the business, and I don't know exactly how I do that. I'm a web designer, but I'm an artist. Not a very good one, but good enough to make memorable websites, I guess. So I use a lot of, I mean, usually that we build logos too. But with the logo, the first impression of the site, those pieces are just somehow going to say, this is what this company is all about. And I don't know that I can exactly explain how we do that. I've tried to train other people on my team to do that. Doesn't really work out. So
yeah.
I think some people can, I think a lot of people can do it, but it's not something that you can necessarily learn how to do. Mm-hmm. The things that you can learn how to do are just basic functionality, making a website purposeful. You know, I always ask people, what is a tool that your team is, or yourself, that you're always looking for? What's something you can never find? And we try to put that somewhere on their website. So now they always have it, and their website becomes a database for knowledge for them. Or, you know, I have clients that have their employees go to their website to fill out their timesheets. And
ooh, that's just so smart.
Yeah. Just anything where they're like, man, this has been such a headache for us. Like,
yeah,
let's put it on your website. And now, even if nobody ever comes to your website to become a customer, you at least have this important tool. So start there, make it purposeful from the beginning. And I try to build a website to be a vision board for the client. Like, is this your vision for your future? So, you know, for smaller companies that want to become bigger, we're going to make their website seem like not where they're at now, but where they want to be. And yeah, that's maybe a better way to describe that. But
that's interesting. I love how you phrase that. You try to make their website like a vision board of where they want to be. Cause yeah, it's so important, you know, to really understand what your client's goal is, where they want to be, what lights them up, and then, you know, build that with in mind while you're building the website.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not always easy, but.
Awesome. And then, so what would you say, or rather, you know, how do you continue to grow Waking Girl Web Design? You know, how do you bring in more leads into your agency and then close those prospects?
Yeah. Getting those first few clients was definitely tough. And I found a couple of strategies that really helped get me going. One was trade. So my first websites I traded, my daughter was actually asking me about this the other day, because she's like, what's that website that you're working on? And I said, oh, that's for a counselor. And I said, oh, actually that counselor has known you since you were a baby. And she's like, well, what were you doing? How? And I was like, well, that was one of the first websites I built. I traded, I was going through some rough times. So I took counseling sessions. In exchange, I gave him a website. She's like, that's weird.
You know, when I was first starting out, I traded services as well. And I think it makes so much more sense than just, you know, sometimes to get a portfolio, some digital marketers will just design things for free or like for like very low cost. Whereas if you trade services, it's a good way to, you know, get something at cost in exchange for your services.
And even more than that, you get to see the inside of a business. So when I first started building websites, I could code, but I didn't know anything about how to run a business or what were the needs of a business owner. So going through that process of, you know, it can take months to get this information out of a business owner. Mm-hmm. But for me, like I went to one counseling session and automatically I knew his hours, how to schedule, you know, the pricing, all of these things that can take forever to find out, you mm-hmm. know, what door to go into, all of it was right there now because I got to see it as a customer. And then, and from testimonials, I could write the first testimonial that went onto his website, you know, just from my own experience. And, you know, so just to give you an idea, also those clients will stick around for a long time. My daughter is almost 14 And I, you know, he met her when she was a fresh new baby.
Wow.
So I've had that client for almost 15 years.
That's and impressive.
Yeah. That, and now he pays cash. So
there you go.
So trade was a big part, and finding people to do one-on-one trades is time consuming, and it is hard for the, I'd say, the typical personality type of web designer. Mm-hmm. So I also joined itex.com. And that is a trade barter organization that's national.
Interesting.
Yeah, they have locations all over the place in the US. I don't know how much of a Canadian presence they have, but mm-hmm. they may have some.
Very cool.
Yeah. And but so that, like, everybody on iTex needs a website. They're all business owners. So that accelerated my ability to trade. And then also that really helped me establish my prices. Mm-hmm. So I was one of these kids that was like terrified to ask for money. And I just, you know, I was raised kind of like money was a sensitive subject, and it was hard to just say, hey, I need $1,000 right now.
Yeah.
That was like, I couldn't even get it out of my mouth. So iTex really helped me, because the business owners on that network have all these trade dollars sitting around that they can't use. They can't use it for gas. They can't use it for their mortgage. So they're looking for a good way to spend it, and to get a website, which is crucial for their business, was like, however much it is, I'll pay it. So I was able to, like, I was selling websites for $300 cash at the time. And then I could turn around and get $3,000 of iTex, you know, trade money. And that helped me just practice asking for that. I was like, no, people will do this. They will hand this over.
Yeah.
And then just being able to translate that in my head from trade to cash was crucial. So,
yeah. It's a really, I had actually forgot that I did that back in the day when I was first starting out. But yeah, there was definitely, I think I got my car detailed one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just random little things. But when you're first starting out, like, you take on, you know, little odd jobs here and there just to start building up your portfolio. And yeah, it's definitely, you know, a strategy to just keep in mind when you're first starting out.
Yeah. And even later in life. And that, like, I had to get my wisdom teeth removed, and I looked for the oral surgeon in town with the worst website, and reached out to him. And we were still negotiating as I was going under. I mean, I had to be put under to do the procedure. And I'm like, he's like, the anesthesiologist is having me count down, and he's like, okay, yeah, and also, can you do this for my website and whatever? I'm like,
we'll do it all. Put the mask over.
But that's the client that has, I mean, my wisdom teeth removal has been one of the most profitable medical procedures I've ever done. because he still, you know, 10 years later, he's still paying me cash every month for the services that we do. And
right.
So that's one trick for anybody that's listening to this and considering using trade. The trick is that you can only offer that initial website on trade. So wisdom teeth removal is $4,000, $6,000, whatever. Perfect. I can build a website and rebuild your logo for the same price. Mm-hmm. After that, your hosting fees are going to be cash, maintenance, SEO, whatever other services you need, that will be a cash price.
So it's really important to just manage those expectations up front.
Absolutely. Yes. Because if you go into it with, if they're thinking that they'll always be able to trade with you, you will not be able to build your cash business, and you won't be able to pay your mortgage or buy your gas. So,
exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So that, and most people who are doing trade, they won't think twice about those cash fees. They're like, yeah, of course, man. In their mind, they just got a free website. So of course they're going to pay cash to maintain it.
Yeah.
So that's
very cool.
That's my number one strategy for you. The other one, when you're just getting started, I charge people by the hour, but I built the websites while they were sitting next to me. So I would, you know, didn't have an office. I was poor, didn't have a house they could come to. And so I was like, tell you what, I'm going to meet you at your office or at this coffee shop. And we would, it's, you know, I started out with $75 an hour. I quickly raised that to 100. So $100 an hour, but we're going to build the website together. And these business owners, man, when they're sitting right there, first of all, they immediately understand what goes into building a website. So they're not asking for crazy things, because they're right there and they can see, oh, can you make that text a little bit bigger? Sure. Oh, not that big. Okay, perfect. Right there.
Love it. Not so much back and forth.
No back and forth. Yeah. And they can also see body language. So like, oh, can you change that font though? And now if I'm like, like right away, they can see, oh, maybe that's not a good idea. So they're like, unless you think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So you don't get that over email, or even over the phone, but right when point. You're sitting right there, they're like, okay, well, I'm seeing how much energy this is taking from you. I want to save your energy for the other pages that we're going to work on. So, okay, don't worry about it. The colors are fine. Let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And instead of this, like, oh, can you change that little
minuscule detail?
It's like, this, why are you worried about that? That's not going to impact your business. So I was, my pitch to people and what I put on my business cards is that, you know, I charge $100 an hour, but I can build a website in 3 to 5 hours. And I could do that as long as the client was sitting right there. Mm-hmm. So it was, I learned so much. I learned what, you know, a business owner will look at a website and they're like, I hate it. Okay. Why do you hate it?
Yeah.
And when they're sitting right there, it was like, oh, you just hate that one color or that one font or that one picture. You don't actually hate the whole website.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to just see how business owners think and how they communicate about web design and all the other questions that come with it. You know, I'm building stuff and they're asking me about Yelp and Google and Facebook and all these things. And I was able to test out my answers with a live audience, getting back to stand-up comedy, and just see the response, see what made sense. You know, what answer am I providing that's making them argue with me versus which one is making them feel like, oh, this makes a ton of sense. I trust you. Can you take care of that for me? That would be so great. Here's more money.
You really have to be like a detective and like a bit of a mind reader, I feel like, when you're dealing with clients sometimes, because some of them just have no eye for design at all. Some of them have such a particular idea in their mind, but they're not good at communicating that. So it's really, you really have to be a detective and try and figure out where they're coming from.
Absolutely. Yes. That's with anyone I hire, I tell them I ask them if they can read minds, because that's a crucial part. You have to be able to read between the lines and kind of piece together what they might be trying to say.
Yeah.
So that's working with clients one-on-one. The biggest benefit of that was I got to be around business owners that were successful and some were not successful, but I was able to get that influence and see just little things like, okay, these super successful business owners are all treating the barista at the coffee shop the same way. So I'm taking notes. Like, they're all being super nice to the service workers. They're ordering, they're tipping big, they're offering me something. These are just little things that made a big impact on me. Cause like at the time I didn't have much money. So when somebody offered to buy, you know, a $5 food item so that I could legitimately stay there for a few more hours, like it was a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And just the generosity that was in these business owners versus other business owners would come in, not buy anything, very short with the staff. And I could see, you know, how how their business was doing, because I was seeing the inside operation.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, so being generous, like having this attitude of appreciation for others, these are things that help you grow in your business and as the person. So I started just making those connections, and that part was, I got way more out of that than my clients did, I think.
Yeah. Well, so. Plus when you're able to observe someone like that, you're able to really qualify if this is someone you want to work with long-term as well. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Chances are if they, you know, they're not really pleasant or considerate of people around them, then they're probably not going to be someone you want to work with for a long time.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. I still got a few of those hanging on.
They make their way in. But yeah, no, that's really interesting. That's definitely a really interesting tactic, is just, you know, designing it with the client right beside you. Cause then, yeah, they understand that whole educational aspect. You know, they're witnessing what you're going through, and because you're charging them per hour, they're also probably less likely to get really nitpicky about certain things.
Right. And they get super bored too.
Yeah.
Like,
they're like, let's wrap this up.
Yeah. They're like, okay, no, it's good. It's good. You know, they get mentally burned out, you know, that part that's normally on the web designer, now it's on them. they're like, I can't even look at the screen for one more minute, whatever you pick, it's good.
That's so funny.
So I strongly recommend doing that. It's hard to do. Like I did theater in school, and one act plays and speech competition. So I had some experience with like just making do on the fly. And
like, you mean like how to keep them like entertained for like 3 to 5 hours?
Right. Yeah. Entertaining them, also dealing with problems, you know, the Wi-Fi goes down. What do you do? They're paying by the hour. So you have to still come up with a productive thing that you can do with them offline.
Yeah.
And at what point do you reschedule? There was a lot that became a little bit stressful. So I don't, if you do that, like, don't do it 5 days a week. You can only, that's a 1 or 2 day a week kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because it is taxing.
Definitely.
But great for when you're first getting started. Like, just, it's the best education you could possibly get. So
very cool. It's interesting. So where do you see Wake and Grow web design in 5 years time?
Hopefully asleep. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So when I first started in web design, I had a feeling that I would need another source of revenue, another project, another something by my mid-30s. Two big things I was seeing. One, the rate of technology, the growth, the change, So, you know, I got into web design knowing that web designers could become the VCR repairman. Like there is that potential with any technology that you become an expert in, it could become obsolete.
Right.
And so I've looked for those things like, okay, what it, Google, I mean, Google will build a website for you in like 30 seconds now.
Yeah. You can get, yeah, you can get websites designed by like 10-year-olds now.
Yeah. And just the, all of the other, oh, I don't need a website. I have Instagram. It's like that's becoming a thing now, mm-hmm. Where people are getting plenty of business from other sources. Mm-hmm. So I've felt like it's important for web designers to diversify, find some other revenue sources just in case your particular niche, becomes obsolete. That said, as technology is becoming more and more crucial to everybody, you know, everybody needs a website. if you can pivot in the market and find new ways to be helpful, new ways to be useful, you'll be fine. Like there's always going to be a demand for people who can figure out technology. But with our brains, like the rate of growth that I had personally in just the ability to learn new things and code, from, you know, when I was 12, 13, 14, 15 years old versus the last 5 years, is just totally different.
Right.
It's when you're running a whole big business and dealing with, you know, your own household stuff, kids, spouse, pets, whatever, you lose some of that ability to just experiment, try things, go down this rabbit hole of coding and figuring out what, you know, how can I automate this process? Like you just don't have time for it. So you end up just doing it all. So in 5 years, to answer your question, Waking Girls on the path to continue expanding, but that's a great question. I don't know the answer to it. I really Waking Girls should be in a place to sell in the next 5 years, and every company should be a goal. You should always have your business in a position to sell it. And not because you have to sell it, but because that means your systems and your processes and your staffing are in place.
Yes.
So if you can sell it, that means you can also run it really easily and
not have you be a lifestyle piece. Not have you be a bottleneck in the company.
Right. Exactly. So, the last few years have been tricky. I'm a bit of a bottleneck. I bought another web design business in 2018.
Okay.
And it was a business that was using a lot of my same functions because the business owner had worked for me once and kind of learned some pieces and went off and did her own thing and went in a new direction, but kept a lot of the same concepts. So it was pretty easy. Like I was a natural fit to take over her business.
Interesting.
So I took that over and it was like, there was still a bit of a learning curve. And just getting a lot of new clients all at one time. I think there were like 40 clients she had.
Yeah.
And that number has changed. We lost a number of them just from, you know,
like the transition.
Yeah. We held on to them pretty well through the transition. But it was more anytime there is a transition, if a business is already on the fence of like moving on or doing something else, it gives them the reason, the final excuse they needed to make that decision.
Right.
So, you know, some people are just like, yeah, I'm just not going to do my business anymore. I'm going to retire. Right. Stuff like that. And, but we also brought on, I hired my dad actually at that time, because I knew with those, the clients that we were gaining, we would need someone who could talk on the phone to them. And my dad is great at talking on the phone. So that was probably one of the highlights of my whole career, was being able to afford my dad. He had been the president of a bank. He's not like just some guy sitting around watching football games. Like he's actually quite qualified.
He sounds like he's very business savvy.
He is. And he's great with business owners. You know, he's in his bank role, he was dealing with the lending, you know, the loans for small businesses. And so he knew what their needs were, and he knew the reality of that a lot of business owners are living day to day hoping the sales come through.
Yeah.
And so he has a bit of a heart for business owners as well. And he was able to, he was getting sick of making the drive to work, and there were a few other things going on, and he was looking for a change. So I was able to bring him on and just put him into an account management kind of role. And that was huge. So he talks to everybody on the phone for me, does the sales and just checks on people, takes notes. And he's that first line of defense when people are angry. I send him to him.
It's a good strategy. Awesome.
So yeah, I'm just saying, like, that was an important part of growing the business, and then also looking at what are the next steps. Because, my dad's probably going to want to retire here in the next 5 years. So what are the systems that we've set up with him, and are they transferable to other people? And will people do as good of a job as my dad? Because the boomers, they are just so good on the phone.
It's true. They have a different type of etiquette. They're very proper.
Well, and they can also start up a conversation with anybody.
Yeah. They're not used to just being antisocial and looking in their phones all the time.
Yeah.
They're a very antisocial generation.
Very. So antisocial. Oh my gosh.
All right. Well,
so that was a long answer, but sorry.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. You know, it's very important to have those systems and processes put in place so that, you have that 5-year goal, whatever it may be, that your business is just healthy and in a position where, you know, you could sell it if you want to, or it can just run without you.
Definitely.
So we are now getting ready to move on to the fast 5. So I have 5 rapid fire questions for you. All right.
Okay.
So what is a book you read that's made an impact on you?
So I'm going to have to say Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard.
Okay.
So I was thinking of like some business books, and my husband was like, no, that's not the book. Disappearance of the Universe is the one you're always talking about. And so that book, I read that about 15 years ago, and it defines it talks about the possibility of this being more of a holographic universe, more of a simulation, and this life that we're living. And what's funny is he refers to this as the dream, and he's talking about waking up from the dream. And I had already called my business Waking Girl. and we were already focused on waking things up. Mm-hmm. So it was funny when I read that book, I was like, yes, waking up. Like, that's what this is. That's what I'm all about. Waking up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I love it. And what does your morning routine look like?
I kind of have the anti-morning routine.
Okay.
I was literally physically damaged by the public education system, and had a lot of health problems from that. And one of the things was just that stress of like needing to wake up early in the morning and catch the bus and panic. Mm-hmm. So I don't do well with a panicky morning, and it prevents me from being creative during the day. So I don't have any meetings. Like, people can't schedule a meeting with me until 11 a.m. or later.
Yeah.
And the kids, they get picked up by carpooling people. So I like roll out of bed when I naturally wake up from the sun.
Yeah.
And eat breakfast and check in, see if there's any emergencies, and then start my work day around 10:30 or 11 most days.
Sounds like an ideal morning. That's amazing.
Every day is a Saturday around
here. Yeah. Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yes. I mean, I thought long and hard about this one, and I'm actually going to say Bear from one of my clients, OnCommandDogs.com. He's one of these clients that I got to sit with for hours at a time and build and help create his business. And when I met him, he was a contractor, and he was just training dogs on the weekends. And I encouraged him to try a couple things on his website that might speed up the sales process and free up some of his time. And he thought I was crazy. He didn't think it would work. And he came back the next week and he's like, it worked. 10 people signed up and I didn't have to talk to any of them. And
amazing.
Yeah. He's like, that saved me 10 hours. And I've been his web designer ever since. He's built his business. He has 3 locations now for dog training, boarding, grooming, daycare. No longer a contractor, so cool. Let all that go. Yeah. And so it's just been fun to watch him just slowly build his business. So it's the little CEOs around you that you have access to. I think those are the ones that can make the biggest impact on your life.
Yes, absolutely. There's definitely a lot of things that you can just relate to them, you know, same struggles that you're going through growing your agency.
Yes.
Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
I'm going to say Jotform.
Okay.
So jotform.com, it's a form builder, and almost all of my clients have a Jotform form on their website, at least one of them. It can act as a payment gateway, and it can do just a lot of complex form conditional responses. We've used it for very complex enrollment forms for clients that just speed the process up. So instead of typing your name in 5 times, like they do on the paper form, you type it in once and Jotform will auto populate all the other spots. There's almost no end to what it can do.
Oh, very cool. Love that recommendation. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I had known that the people I hire do not know everything, but they can be taught. I'll say one of my first hires is probably still my best hire, and I did not realize it at the time. So, you know, kind of, he made one mistake and that was the end of it. Cause I didn't know that people might make mistakes in that capacity. but he was super amazing. And I looking back, I mean, he's got a good job now, everything's fine, but it was like, yeah, that was, I try to hire in threes. So bring on three people in like a trial basis. And if you're new to hiring, because one in three people will stand out, but that person by themselves, they might not seem like the best candidate possible. Because you're comparing
that's an interesting
person
strategy.
Yeah, you're comparing that person to you, but you've been doing this job forever and you're the business owner, so you actually care about it. But compared to two other guys off the street, you'll quickly see who is a team player, and you might end up just hiring all three of them. So,
okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Gertie. It was a pleasure to learn about your journey of starting your agency. So thank you so much for joining me for today's episode.
No problem. Thanks, Julia. I appreciate it. This was fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.